Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Benton, Midtown, West Little Rock, and our Espanol campus in Little Rock as well. My name is Amy Scrivanos, and, well, I don't usually do that opening part, as you guys know. Dan is out today. He has some sick kids, and so we're sad not to have him with us and looking forward to having him back for our next one. But we didn't want to miss this opportunity today to interview a very special guest that we have here. I want to welcome my friend Andrew Monvaneza. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you, Amy?
Andrew is here from Rwanda. He is a pastor at Divine Destiny Church, which for those of you that know our missions partners, you may know Joel and Annie Sengoga. They're the pastors there in Kigali at Divine Destiny, and Andrew is one of the pastors there at that church. And Andrew is currently living in Dallas, Texas. He's here studying at DTS, that's Dallas Theological Seminary, getting his seminary education, and he's on spring break this week and had the opportunity to be in Little Rock and spend some time here at Fellowship. And so we're just excited to have you, Andrew, get to know you a little bit. Of course, I know you, but I'm excited for the rest of our church to get to know you a little. So glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Andrew, tell us a little bit about you and about your family.
As Amy has said, I am called Andrew Mvaneza, and I'm married to Betty, and we have two sons. The firstborn is Rema, 7 years old, and the second one is Ezra, 2 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So two boys, Rema and Ezra, and I've had the chance to meet them. They're so sweet, and Betty. So tell me, Andrew, how did you end up here at DTS? How'd that opportunity come about?
I came to pastoral ministry after graduating from secular college, and I had a passion to teach the Word of God, but had never had a training for theological training. So I got a chance, and there was a small Bible school that opened up in Kigali. I joined it. I was among the pioneers of students in that school. And after finishing a diploma there, I got one of my teachers, professors who were teaching me there and sometimes mentoring me. He also had my desire and my passion for theological education. And he had gone, he's a DTS alumni. So he also introduced me to DTS and said, Andrew, I know you have this passion and these capabilities. I would like you to also further your education if you are interested. And he introduced me to DTS, and I applied for admission. I was considered. Later on, was given a scholarship for 1 year to come and do my theological studies at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Okay, so you moved here last August, is that right? Isn't that when you got here?
Yes.
Okay, and your family. Where's your family right now?
My family is not with me in Dallas. They are still in Rwanda because of visas issues. They could not make it the first time in me. But my plan is that they come in my second year at Dallas.
Yeah, so you've been here this year while your wife and two kids have been in Rwanda. I know that's been so hard. Tell us a little bit about how you've managed that with them there and you here.
Yeah, it has been somehow harder than we thought would be, but we praise God because of technology. So the only way we could just keep connected is every day I talk with them on video calling, FaceTime, and we talk for almost an hour before my kids go to bed and pray with them and pray with my wife. And that is how we make it every day to keep connected.
So I bet they look forward to that time, and you probably do too, every day where you can see each other and talk.
Yeah, every day actually it happens no matter when I'm from chapel at school. So I'm running quickly, going to my room and begin calling them.
Uh-huh.
I find everyone is ready to talk to daddy.
Yeah, you and I had talked earlier about kind of the timing of that. So that's around noon for you. And there it's about 7 o'clock at night. So they're headed to bed and you're helping kind of put them to bed via via FaceTime?
Sure. Of course, I leave 11:30 from the chapel, and then at that time it's 7:30 in the night, and my son goes to bed at 8 p.m., so I talk to him, and we pray together and take him to bed, and then after that I keep talking with my wife until we finish, and we pray together, and I go back to the next class.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Uh-huh. Well, I know that's probably been difficult, but so thankful for technology that you can see them every day and talk with them. And you had the opportunity to go home at Christmas, so that was nice, I know.
Yep, I had that chance to go back for 5 weeks and really found them already waiting for me.
Uh-huh, yeah. I bet. Uh-huh. Well, we're so glad that you're here and have this opportunity, and we're hopeful that they'll get to join you this next year as well. So tell me a little bit, I'd love for you just to share some of your story of how you came to Christ and just what your journey with the Lord has been.
My journey with the Lord has been so exciting. I was born in a family of Catholic family. My dad was a committed Catholic church person, but very soon he was killed and died. And he was the only person who was employed in the home. My mom didn't work. It was only my dad who was working. So when he was killed and died, I was very young, almost 5 years, and the whole family almost like was affected. And because of his death, we had to be forced to move from the city and go to live in a village. And when I talk of a village, of course, it's not like a village in the United States. When you go to the village, it means you are going to a kind of horrible life, a place where there is no running water, where there is no good food, in a bad situation. So our family was really, really affected. But because I was very young, I didn't even understand what it meant to lose a father. But later on, as years went by, it's when I began to sense that I don't have a dad, I don't have my father, facing challenges of life. I say this is because I don't have a father. Mm. So now it came to a point when I was a teenager, and the absence of my dad was, I felt it much than I had never done before. Mm-hmm. Life became so hard. I became miserable. I became hopeless. I couldn't see hope for life. Mm-hmm. And then I was forced even in my heart to lose. I lost hope and lost and dropped out of school. I could not go on with schooling because I didn't see where
is. This was high school for you?
Yeah, this is
high school years.
Yeah, this was high school. Mm-hmm. I was in high school in my teenage, and I said I don't think it will get me anywhere else. And because of how my dad was killed, and my mom had told us that your dad was killed by some of the extended family members who hated him and were jealous of how he had progressed because he was well-to-do by then. So all that kind of grief, enmity, hatred, resentment rose up in my heart at this age because I saw that I don't have some opportunities which I could have had if my dad was still alive. Mm-hmm. So with all that, it built up too much resentment and bitterness, which caused my life to lose focus and direction. And I dropped out of school, and actually I contemplated on maybe joining the army because I didn't see any hope. Joining the army to me was like, let me throw away my life into the army. Maybe I may die there or something. I couldn't see hope. But later on, I got a chance by God's way. God moved me. By then I was in Uganda because this is where I was born. Mm-hmm. It's where my family was. So I had to move to go visit Rwanda and seek an opportunity to join the army. Mm-hmm. But then it failed. I could not join the military by then. So, but the family I was living with, which is the Sengoga's family, by then was still single.
Okay, so you were living with Joel and Annie Sengoga.
It was Joel alone.
It was Joel because they weren't married yet.
Yeah, he was just single, yeah.
Okay.
So they would take me to church in the evening. I got in Rwanda when they were having a conference. I could just go there. But because earlier before, I had come to a point of believing that there is no God. I thought that God does not exist. It's just a lie which has been brought to people in order to build society of peace, but that God doesn't exist. Mm. But the more and more I was invited to this church, I felt maybe there might be God, but I couldn't make a decision to follow Christ. So I kept on going with them. They would pray with me at home. They would like tell me about God, but it was a foreign idea to me because I had lost hope. I lost even at this time. I'm still grieving. I mean, still having this bitterness, this resentment. My life is like, I don't see where I'm heading to. It's all total darkness before me. I don't see anything that is hopeful in life for the future. There's nothing I can see. But later on, one day in the morning, it was a Sunday morning. I didn't have any plans for going to church. But Joel's sister told me to take a guy who lived with us in that home. He told me that I should take this guy and show him where the church is, at least so that for him he may go into church.
Mm-hmm.
So I went trying to take someone to church, to point him to church, and I come back. But when I got there, I felt convinced to go in too and also have this time of worship. So while I was in here, I had the gospel preached to me. And at the end of it, this man who was preaching said, "Who are those who would like to give their lives to Christ?" I don't know where he got the strength and the guts, because before I used to fear, I can stand in the midst of people, walk forward to the front. And at this time, I didn't feel that. I never asked those questions. I stood up courageously and went forward.
Oh, wow.
I was led into through the prayer of accepting Christ. And little after, when we left church, I was walking back home. I was alone. This guy had left before. So I began to ask myself, what did I do? What made me to go there and they pray for me, lead me to accept Christ? How did it work? Mm-hmm. So while I was thinking of that, I felt too much peace and joy overflowing in my heart. I was walking alone. I got excited from nowhere and I began to laugh. I was laughing on the road, walking, wondering what has happened. And I couldn't control it.
Wow.
Because I began to think that if people see me laughing alone on the road, they will think that maybe I have some problems, or maybe I'm drunk, or maybe I have some mental issues. So I could try to control it, but I couldn't. Then I went on and went back home with too much peace and joy in my heart.
So instant change in your heart from the moment that you made that decision to follow Christ.
Yes, instant change, which I really, really felt and experienced as something real. So later on, after maybe like a week, deep inside me, I felt a compelling voice leading me to forgive, to let it go. The people who killed my father, to forgive and leave alone those who killed my father. Even after the death of my father, most of the relatives of my dad offended us in various ways. Some people who took away the property of the family. So all of those, I felt I'm being led to forgive. In my heart, I forgave and felt too much peace. I felt much love to these people. Now the next step was going to them and telling them, "I have forgiven you." Yes, of course, I couldn't go telling them, accusing them that you did this, therefore I have forgiven you. But I went to them and said, "You guys had hated you, but now I feel I am to forgive you for everything I had hated you for."
Wow.
So I felt I am now friendly to these people.
That's the change that only the Lord can bring in your heart.
Sure. Already that is the change that even myself who doubted God, it was my first instant sign that like told me that this must be God.
Mm-hmm.
Because something has happened in you. It's like, it would be like magic. You know, you haven't done anything to bring this one in, but this has happened.
Yes.
It's like a big change, turning from something dangerous to a moment of light.
Mm-hmm.
all the grief, all the resentment, all the hopelessness was thrown away. It became my past.
Mm.
And not because the thing that caused me this grief, this resentment, this hopelessness, those things had not changed, but I had changed within, and it changed how I looked into the world and the world and all the things that were going on.
Gosh, that's such a beautiful story of how God just worked in your heart and in your life just to change that. It didn't change your circumstances, but he changed your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So how did the uncles, how did they respond to that when you went and talked with them?
When I went there, they said, of course, they were very excited to see me because they said, oh, how what has made you to be able to come into our home? Because ever since I was younger, like from maybe the age of 5, I had never stepped in their home. So seeing me coming into their home, they're wondering, how have you been able to come here? Actually, the wife of my uncle asked me, you know, your mom said many things against us, and now you are able to come here? I said, I've come that we may reconcile relationship.
Mm,
the Lord has visited my heart, and I feel I have forgiven you because I hated you. And they were really happy about that, and we began to build friendship from that time with also some of their kids and with their family. So when my mom heard about it, she was mad about that. She said, how could you dare to go in the family of the enemies? Mm-hmm. They would have even done anything bad against you and harm against you. Why would you go there? I said, Mom, God has visited my heart and I feel I am forgiving them. My mom couldn't understand that and she thought that maybe I am going crazy. How can you do that? Are you out of your senses? Are you out of your mind? I said, this is the work of the Lord within me. She couldn't believe it. Had to back off and wait for the time when God would visit her as well.
Okay, so tell me about that. So what happened with your mom then?
Of course, later on, I kept on praying for my family. Actually, most of my siblings, because I was the first one to have a relationship with Christ, later on my siblings came one after the other, and they gave their lives to Christ after a number of years of curse. But later on it came to the time of my mom. She felt also the desire to follow God, to seek after God. And also she had the same thing where she had a moment when she felt compelled to go also and make reconciliation. She called me. I was far away living in Rwanda. She's living in Uganda. And she calls me, Andrew, I have also come to a point I want to reconcile with your uncles. Would you get me some means of transport? And I go there. So I was really excited and had to look for this transport so that she may go and visit them. She went there and also she reconciled with them. My uncle was happy about that also, except that his wife maybe wasn't okay with that, said, no, you know, you said many things. Again, as my mom said, we have not come here again to make arguments. I think we've come to build a relationship that was destroyed years ago. So she was really, she was excited, went to different uncles. And this, my mom, to me, seeing that was an amazing thing because my mom one time told me that I will never, never meet these people again as long as I'm still alive. Maybe when I'm dead, because when you are dead, you don't control yourself, we will meet maybe in hell. But I will never have any time to meet these people because of the evil thing they have done to us.
Wow, so God has really just redeemed your whole family, just reconciled your family together and brought so much healing that I think that story is just amazing to hear, the way that God has worked there. So tell me your story of how you then came into ministry and being a pastor at Joel's Church.
Yeah, so at this time when I give my life to Christ, I'm in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And God helped me. I finished high school, went to college, finishing college. When I was at college, I had this desire and too much passion for Christ. Actually, I always make it a joke. Most of the time at college, I was involved in ministry than in school. So at the end of my college, I sensed a direction to go serve God in vocational ministry. So it was a hard decision to make, but I, seeing what God had done in my life, I had made a resolution that I will follow Christ at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to sacrifice anything for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So after this time, I got to vocational ministry, and this is a time when Divine Destiny Church was starting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I got into the pastoral team. We planted this church as Joel was leading us. And from then, I fully got engaged into vocational ministry. So since then, after my college, went to this for vocational ministry. And since then, I have been in vocational ministry. This is how God brought me into it. And I have always found joy in serving God
mm-hmm.
than in doing any other kind of work outside the church or ministry. So I really sense that this was God leading me to this because I enjoyed it and I love it so much.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, Andrew, we are so blessed to have you here and sharing your story with us. And, you know, I've traveled to Rwanda several times and gotten to see you in action there with people. And you all are just doing such an amazing job there. And just seeing the way that you love people there and you are sharing the gospel with people there. And God is really moving through your ministry. And we're just so excited to be able to partner with you guys and to be praying for you and supporting you. And so thanks so much for being here today. Thanks for being on the podcast with us and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much. It was also a pleasure for me to be here.
Oh, thanks, yep. Andrew. Mm-hmm. Well, Fellowship, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Andrew today. And we certainly missed having Dan with us and look forward to having him back next time. So until next time, I'm Amy. For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.